just receive this morning. Just hear from the Holy Spirit. God, I speak to us. Let us hear what your Spirit has to say to us this morning. We thank you, God, for correction. God, we thank you, God, for instruction. And God, we thank you, God, that you just continue to infill us this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. John chapter 17, we don't have it on the screen, but I want to read it. It says this, it says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven. This is one of the famous Jesus prayers towards the end of the book of John. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given to him. Now this, listen to this, now this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. He says that this is eternal life, that we would know God. And we talked about that last week. We talked about knowing God, and we're going to continue on to that kind of that same idea this week. So actually, I got to prepare this week on this message and not just, yeah, thank you, Lord, for giving me that before Sunday. That was awesome. But it was great last week. But if you haven't listened to that message, I would challenge you to go listen to that message. It was really good. The Lord had really some good things to share last week. And so we talked about last week that from the beginning, and we talked about from Genesis, we preached from Genesis to Revelation last week. So from the beginning, Jesus, from the beginning, it was supposed to be God and man in fellowship. And at the end, it talks about that finally, right, that God's inhabitation is with man. Right? And God will be their God, and He himself will be their God, and we will be His people, and we'll be together with Him.
It fell down. Thank you, Julie. Oh my gosh, technology. I love it. I love technology. This is going to sound great on the recording.
Is that better? We good? All right. I might go start over. So from beginning to the end, it's always been God's desire to be with man and fellowship with man. And so we talked about that at length last week, that it's God's design that we fellowship with Him. And you cannot just know about God, but you can know Him. Know Him. The Bible says, and Daniel said, the people who know their God will be strong and carry out exploits. Like the people who know Him. And so often, what we try to do in Christendom is we try to have these points, follow this point, and this point, and you'll have your answer. You'll get your answer to prayer if you just do this, this, and this, right? If you jump through this hoop, and this hoop. And there are principles of the Word of God, there's no doubt. But it's all based on the idea that I know God. Like David did not go, when he faced Goliath, he did not say, well, let me figure out all the plan of the principles and the ideas. No, David knew God. And when he saw Goliath, like, opposing him, right? When he saw Goliath opposing him, he knew God enough to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would come against the armies of the God that I know, right? It was something deep on the inside. It wasn't just, you know, David just didn't come off of a faith teaching, right? And learn some principles. He knew God. He knew God. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that. And so I felt like as I was preparing, and I was like, well, Lord, what do you want to do? And so I felt like the Lord was just like, He says, you know what, David, there's two things that we need to know and we need to understand to even know God. There's two things, a couple of things, there are a lot of things, but two things that He gave us. The first is this. The first one is this, that God is near. God is near. You say, well, there's more to it than just the understanding, right? God is near. He's close. He's not the man upstairs, right? Right? He's not, you know, the good man up in the sky, right? You can experience and know that God is near. Joshua 1 and verse 1 says that. I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. Amen. Thank you, Tyrone. I will. Joshua 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, this is God speaking, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory I will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for I will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Notice what God tells Joshua in order to be courageous and strong is he says, know that I'm with you. Know that I'm with you. Why would God tell Joshua, right? We look at Joshua as, God, you know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, right? Remember that song? And the walls came tumbling down. Like, we know about Joshua. But you got to understand, like, we think about Joshua and Caleb. Man, if the rest of those spies were just be like Joshua and Caleb, they wouldn't have to gone through all that mess, right, during the desert. But Joshua and Caleb believe Joshua is finally there. It's his moment. And he's ready. Listen, he's ready. Let's get real. He's ready to follow Moses into the promised land. And it just doesn't happen the way Joshua thought it was going to happen. God starts off this scripture says, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now you pick it up. It's one thing to follow people into the promised land. It's a whole nother deal to lead somebody into the promised land. Now that is on you, Joshua. The weight of it. And remember, like none of these other guys except for Caleb, none of these other guys have seen what Joshua has seen. They don't know the giants that are in the land. They don't know the fortified walls that are in the land. They know. Joshua fully knows what he's up against. So God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. He has to tell him. There will be opportunities of doubt. There will be opportunities to fear. But Joshua, God tells him, be strong and courageous. And why was that, Joshua? Because the Lord is with you wherever you go. God's answer to fear and doubt has always been that God will be with you. God will always be with you. Jesus repeats it in Matthew 28. When Jesus gives the great commandment, right? Therefore, go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isaiah speaks of it in Isaiah 41. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 23 says it this way. It's the famous Psalms, right? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we say things like this, and I get it. But we got to understand, like, some of the things that we just say in passing, we got to be careful they don't become like theology in our minds, right? We say things like this. Man, I went to Ross the other day, and man, I found these jeans for $15. You know, the Lord was really with me.
Or you know what? I did my taxes, and I got a refund. I got a big, fat refund. The Lord was really with me. Right? Listen to the wording of these scriptures. Listen to the wording. Do not be dismayed. Don't be fearful. Even though in the darkest valley? That sounds like I just got audited by the IRS. Yeah. That means nothing at Ross had anything that was my even size. Like, we use this terminology like, well, the Lord was with me. Because things turned out the way I wanted them to work out. That's not the Bible. The Bible is, I'll be with you in the darkest valley. I'll be with you when you paid off all of your debt and you got hit with a $3,000 IRS bill.
Yes, that's right.
I will be with you. The I will be with you is when your kids are acting crazy and you don't know what's wrong with them. Right? When you're a new mom and that baby will not stop crying and you're about to lose your mind. Right? The Lord is with you. Even in the darkest valley. See, what happens is we say these things and all of a sudden it changes the way we think about God. Like if everything works out like I wanted it to, then God was obviously with me. Right. But if it didn't, then God wasn't with me.
Wow.
That's untrue. That's bad, as we theologians say, that's bad doctrine.
Yeah, that's right.
That's bad doctrine. Tell that to the martyr over in Iran. Yeah. Tell that to the martyr in tell that to the underground church whose leader just got arrested. The Lord is with you wherever you go, right? This is not in my notes, so I don't have all the details. So there's a guy, and they talked about him being I think it was China, but they talked about he would have to walk in sludge like up to his waist. That was, yeah, Brother Yun. He would have to walk in sludge and just filth up to his waist. But he talks about, he goes, that was the time I got to be alone with God. And even in that sludge, and even that nasty stuff that he had to walk through and be in, he said he didn't have to be around, he didn't have to be in his cage, right? He could just walk through all that stuff, but he knew that God was with him. While he was in prison, yeah. The stories about people being burned, John Huss, who was burned at the stake. History says that John Huss, that as the fire started consuming him, he started singing in the fire. Because why? The Lord was with him. Like even in your darkest valley, even when you feel like nothing's going right, God is with you. Amen? God is with you. God is with you. He says, do not be dismayed. Do not be courageous. God is with you in every trial. And he says, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff has to do with protection, right? It has to do with direction. But in all of that, we could go into teaching about that, but the idea is that the thinking of that the sheep is that God, the great shepherd, is with me. And he's guiding me and he's directing me. And even though I'm just a sheep, I can trust the great shepherd to lead me through this. Because he's near. He's with me. I will fear no evil. The rod and the staff protect me. The next thing we need to know is that not only is God near, is not only he is close, he's near to the brokenhearted, Scripture says. He's not only that, but he knows you. He's near, and he knows you. He knows you. Some of you are like, I don't know if that's a good thing. Psalms 139 says this, and I'm just going to read the whole thing. If you ever get discouraged, Psalm 139 is a great place to go. He says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Those are good things, and sometimes they're not so good things. "You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Listen to that. God, you're familiar with all my ways. "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, is too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you." Come on, come on. Hear that? If I say, that surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night. Have you ever been in that place? Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day and the darkness as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Now it gets real. If only, God, you would slay the wicked. Isn't this a weird little transition? Away from me, you are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent, and your adversaries misuse your name. I'm going to ask David about this part. And do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? I abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. Yikes. I count them as my... It gets better. I count them as my enemies. Interesting place for David to say this. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God knows you. He knows everything about you. In Isaiah 43:1, it says this, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name." By name, you are mine. See, God knows us. He knows every part of us. He knows the good, the bad, the ugly. Matter of fact, the name Jehovah Jireh, right? That's our English way of pronouncing that. The name Jehovah Jireh actually means, Jireh means actually, has to do with God seeing you. Actually, it's actually translated, best translation I've ever heard is this: providing and satisfying the need as he sees. As he sees the need. He sees your need, and it's not like when you ask God for, maybe do you pray the prayer of supplication and say, God, this is what I need. This is, you know, God, provide my needs. The idea is that's just not the first time he's heard it. Oh, how about that? I didn't know Julie needed money for the IRA. I didn't know that. Like, God already saw, because he sees her and me. It's IRS. He sees us, right? Can you see where I'm going with this whole message? He sees us and he meets that need. He satisfies the need that he already sees. It's not shocking to God when you approach God for your supplications, yeah, for your requests. God didn't go, I didn't know they needed that. God already saw, because why? Because He knows you. He knows you. He sees. He knows your, the Bible says, it talks about David, He knows every anxious thought that you have. He knows your faults. He knows every one of them. That's what's so amazing. What's so amazing is God knows you, He knows me, and He still pursues me. He still pursues relationship with me. He knows you and loves you, faults and all. He knows the real you, the one that no one else sees, the one you hope nobody finds out about. Every part. The one, the one your spouse and you, your kids know you really are. Like, you want to know about somebody, ask their kids. Don't laugh so hard. But it's true. It's true. It's true. Like, none of us has got this all figured out. None of us. Let me say that again. None of us. I don't care about your favorite preacher. I don't care the person you look up to the most. They don't have it all figured out. None of us do. We're all this, right? We're the unfinished wall. All of us. Nicks, dents, miss hammer places where we missed and hit the hammer in the wrong place. Stamps from the lumber stains. All of us. God knows, He sees, and He loves. And He pursues you. You say, David, what does this have to do with knowing God? It has everything to do with knowing God. Because if I know that God knows me, warts and all, I know, if I know God loves me right where I'm at, and He pursues me right where I'm at, He knows everything about me. He knows everything in the secret. He knows everything that's out in the open. He knows my anxious thoughts, right? He knows my pride thoughts. He knows all of those thoughts. If I know that, guess what? I can be transparent with Him. I can be honest with Him. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. One of the things I believe about that, one of the reasons I believe that, I believe about that is that David, if you read David's writings, he is a complainer. Have you noticed? Yeah. Like, he is unafraid to tell God that he hates his enemies. When was the last time you and God had that conversation? He was open and honest enough to say, I hate my enemies. I wish you'd kill them all. Right? Some of you are like, amen, David, amen. He was open and honest enough to be bold enough to even call God out. It's unfair. It's not right. Why are all these people, God, I am your servant, and all these other people are prospering and I'm not? Why is that? Because David knew the heart of God. David knew that God was always with him. David knew that those thoughts weren't new to God. God already received them. He already knew them. Yeah. And that we can know God in all of His goodness and all of our failures. And through the blood of Jesus, not only do we not only know Him, but we can have the amazing, awesome privilege, if you will, to have the very third person of the Godhead inside us. David's, this knowledge is too great. This knowledge is too great. Can't even handle it. He knows you. He's called you by name. When you know that God is near, and when you know that He knows you, we can then begin to really know God. Because then me and God can have a conversation. God can know my anxious thoughts, and I can do this. Here's the key. I can invite Him in. I can invite Him into those anxious thoughts. I can invite Him into all those worries. I can invite Him in. You say, David, what does that look like? Something's going on with your kids. You can't really put your finger on it. You can't really think, you don't really know exactly, but you know something's up. You can ask the Lord. God, you know. Not only do you know me, you know my kid. And you've called me to be a parent. You know me. And as we walk with God, God, I'm telling you, I don't know how people parent without the Holy Spirit. I don't. There have been so many times where we'll pray. Something's going on with different kids of our home. There will be. There's times when things are going on. We know something's going on. And let me tell you, they're kids. They don't even know. But we've prayed. And we've asked the Lord, Lord, help us. Help us to parent this kid. And God will show us. He'll show one of us what's going on. Because He knows us. Something's up, maybe at your job. I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't really know what's going on. Maybe it's your spouse. I don't know. I feel like there's some kind of tension. Like, guys, I'm going to tell you something. We need the Holy Spirit to figure out our wives. It's the truth. I'm not even kidding. Wives, you need the Holy Spirit to figure out your husband. It's the truth. It's the truth. Because God knows them. And thank God, God knows me, and He talks to her. Yeah. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this. Walking with God. In your everyday life. In your everyday life. You can go even for... just forget it. I'm not even going to pick that up again. You can go... Listen. Why am I speaking on this? Why am I so passionate about this? You guys got to understand. That's the way I live. I live this way. Listen, I'm not that good on my own. Seriously, I am not that good on my own. You think I am in need of God's help. And I've learned to tap in. And I've learned to tap into His presence. I've learned to tap into His wisdom. I've learned to tap into my relationship with my kids so I can relate to my kids better. I've learned so I can have a great marriage. I know when God deals with me about a fault or thing I'm doing that's maybe displeasing to God, because that's not just my wife, that's God's child. Let God speak to you that sometime. It's important the way you treat her, David, because that's my child. You need to treat my child a little bit better than you are. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But God helps us. And I don't know, you know, that's you know, whatever. You hear what I'm saying? Do you have anything you want to say, Julie?
Yeah, let me just
think.
Is it on? Okay. Yeah, this is so important. I was just jotting down a couple of things while you were talking. Because, you know, I was thinking about, like, why do we need to know these things? Why do we need to know how to know God? You know, because we're all just here on the earth or whatever. But it's so important. We can know God's Well, Psalm 103:7 says that Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel knew the deeds of God. They saw what God did, but the children of, I mean, but Moses, he actually knew God, and he knew his ways.
Yeah, that's good.
So why is that important? And the analogy is like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, MapQuest, way back before every phone had GPS on it, you'd print out the directions to where you were going to go. That was like the big, that was a big deal. And that was a big improvement from like the fold-up maps that you'd get, or the Rand McNally.
Wow. Big books. You're going way back.
I know. So, but
you can never fold those stupid things. You couldn't fold those things.
But when you do MapQuest, you'd put in the starting direction and the ending direction, and you were fine as long as you didn't veer from those things. Like, you could get from here to here, but if you made a wrong turn, or if the map was wrong, or if a road was closed, or there was too much traffic going around.
It's always wrong.
Yeah, and it was always wrong. It was. So, but now, like, we have it so easy because every phone has GPS on it. And, like, even if you lose service, if you already started the map, somehow it still knows where you're at, and it can still help you get to where you want to go. It's amazing, right? Even if you do a wrong turn, like, it'll kind of, like, reroute and stuff, right? Yep. And it's the same way. So we can know the principles of God. And many of you guys, especially, you've been taught in church, been raised in church, or you've been known God. You've been a Christian for years. We can know. We can see, we've seen God's deeds, and we know some of the things that he does and how he works and principles. But don't vary from that. Because then you'll be like, wait, I did blah, 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 and that worked last time. Why did that not work this time?
God
didn't answer my prayer. Where was God? You know? But when we know God and we listen to the Holy Spirit and we know his voice, it's like having Waze on your phone. You know, you make a wrong turn or there's a road closed, it just takes you where you, like, it'll reroute you without even really asking. And when we know the Holy Spirit, when things go wrong in our lives, when things like take, you thought it was going to go this way and what you really wanted was this, but God has another thing going and he takes you this way, then we have the Holy Spirit. He will continue to lead us and guide us. And that's why it's so important for us to know the voice of God and to invite the Holy Spirit in. And what does that look like? It looks as simple as this. God, I'm really worried about this. I don't know why. I have a knot in my stomach about whatever, traveling to here. And so, Holy Spirit, just show me what that is and show me what I need to do. And I give this to you, God, and I invite you in. Or something like this, like, God, I don't know why I feel so alone, but I feel totally, utterly alone in this. So God, show me what the truth is. And God, I invite you into this loneliness that I'm feeling. And you could be surrounded with people and still feel totally and alone, be lonely, surrounded by people all the time. But God, I invite you into this. Now show me what I need to do. Teach me what I need to learn. And lead me out of this into where you want me to be. That's what we're talking about. And for some of us, some of you that have been following God for a long time, you know the voice of God. And you know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But for some of us that maybe it's newer, you're just learning these things or relearning these things, what does that look like? You first of all, you start there, you invite God and say, God, this is what's going on. Just like David was talking about with King David. And you just invite, say, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. Now I give this to you and I ask you to show me what to do. And then you just watch, because sometimes it'll come from like down here where you feel right and wrong. And, you know, like when you were a kid and you would disobey your parents, and, you know, in your conscience, like that's your spirit, you know. And it'll be there. There'll be an inclination or something there. Sometimes it'll come from a friend or from another source. But direction and information will come. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to lead you. But he's so respectful that he won't just take over.
Right.
You got to invite him in. And so that's why this is so important for us to know, because the devil will tell us, oh, he doesn't care, or he's too busy, or we just want to hold on to control. But like, how silly is it we hold on to control when the God who made everything, who is the most powerful, We don't serve a little Holy Spirit that's like a little dove that like comes and just lands on us, just a little piece that falls right here. I don't know what you have because the Holy Spirit's all over me. No, we're talking about the Holy Spirit that was the power that was brooding over all of creation. That mm-hmm. this is the Spirit that went over the waters and brought life out of nothing. This Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that it was the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that took his yes. dead body, beaten, bruised, sword, dead. That's the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit we're talking about leading us is the same Spirit that completely restored, that quickened, changed. That same Holy Spirit. This is the same Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost, caused the whole building to shake. Fire appeared. Guys could hear languages and speak in languages they never heard, and the power came. And they were walking along, and they were like, silver or gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And like, boom, and the guy would never walk. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about here.
Amen.
That wants to be a part of your life. So don't hold on to your stuff like this. Don't hold on. Get control and invite him in. Invite the Holy Spirit in to whatever it is that's going on. And the big Holy Spirit that covers the earth with the glory of God will come on you. And then when you begin to walk like this, then you'll begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit, like David was talking about a couple weeks ago. You'll begin to walk out love and joy and peace in the middle of all of the storms going on around you. Why? Because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we know God and walk with God and invite him in to all the things that we're facing. But it all just begins with just inviting him in. And really, that's what intimacy is. Intimacy is you're truly, rawly yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what God wants? God wants us to be truly, rawly ourselves with him. That's what he wants.
Yeah. Amen. Let's go home. That was awesome. Yeah, let's all stand together. Worship team, y'all can come, go ahead and come back. Listen. Yeah, so on Easter, we're going to talk about, so when you bring your friends on Easter, we're going to talk about life resurrected.
Yeah.
And that life, that God resurrects life. Just like Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal bodies, right? He raises up, we are raised with Christ to seat with him in heavenly places. We're going to talk about that on Easter Sunday. That we are raised with Christ to walk in a life like we never, like we actually, a life like we were always intended to walk.
Yeah.
So this thing, so actually, she was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, that was me in a private conversation we were talking about. Yeah, so that's what we're kind of going to go into for the next few weeks. So, gave it away, a little preview. So I want you to just bow your heads, right where you're at. Yes, Holy Spirit. So maybe you're here okay. The word calls it that we have a form of godliness but deny the power. Part of the power is your daily walk with him. Your supernatural walk with him. Maybe you're in this place, and man, you know Jesus. That's awesome. Jesus is your Savior. He's your Lord. He is everything. But you know there's more, right? You know there's more. And it's in these days, it is really important that we know God. It is really important that we know God. The lies just are everywhere. The deception is everywhere and rampant. I'm reading through Jeremiah right now, and Jeremiah is pleading with these people to obey God, and they just don't. It's not the most encouraging read ever, but they're just not. They actually call, at one point, they call Jeremiah, "You're a liar. You're a liar, Jeremiah. All this stuff's not going to happen to us. You're a liar." Jeremiah didn't stay true because he knew a lot of principles. He didn't stay true because he knew about God. He stayed true because he knew God. He knew God. And though everybody spoke out against him, he remained true because he knew God. And maybe you're in this place, you go, "I want to know God." The great thing is, just start opening up, talking to him. In the moment, during the day, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. That's kind of what we're talking about. It's not that you pray out words 24/7, right? It's that you are in constant communion. You walk with God. "Lord, what would you have me do? God, my boss just chewed me out for something I feel like that wasn't my fault. What, God, I invite you into that. God, everything is overwhelming. God, what are your thoughts on this?" And maybe all it is God just tells you that you're his child and he's got you. Don't worry. I've had a dollar for every time that God had to tell me, "David, just don't worry. Just, I got it. Don't worry. I'd be a rich man." Come on, so right where you're at, just lean back. Just lean back. Just lean back. Just you and him. Just you and him. Thank you, God, that you're always with us. You never leave us, God. You never forsake us, God. You never forget about us. You never abandon us. God, we're not left as orphans, God. But God, you're always with us. Thank you, God, that your power is with us everywhere we go. God, we thank you, God, your wisdom is with us everywhere we go. God, we thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you.
So I said, Lord, what are you saying? Like, so this has been a couple of weeks, like, of knowing you. And you kind of took this on by surprise to me. Like, so what, I had my own plans and my own thing that, like, so what, God, what are you saying? And I felt like the Lord said, just challenge them to go places they've never been before. Challenge them to know me like never before. From the person who has just now become a Christian to the person who's been a Christian for 40, 50, 60 years. Eternity to tap into. He says, they haven't tapped into my fullness. It'll take all of eternity to tap into my fullness. And I said, Lord, that's awesome. Like, what if we had a church of people? Listen. What if we had a church of people who didn't just know about God, but knew God, that knew their God? That when they walked in their, when they walked into their office building on Monday morning, they knew that God was with them. They knew the power of God on the inside of them. They knew that whenever somebody came to them with an issue or a problem or a situation, that, man, you know how these people just come to you, right? If they find out you're a Christian, they want you to pray for them. What if you just grabbed hold of their hands and you just prayed for them right there on the spot? What if you were just filled with so much of God that you just lost yourself, lost who you even thought you always were? You just lost all that and you just did what God told you to do in that moment. I'm reminded of Amber's story, right when she came back from her mission trip, how she went and she just started praying for people that she was like, this is not even me. I don't even do this. But God so changed her because she's so confident of who she is, who she found out she really was on the inside. And she, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. What if we had a church of people who knew their God? What if we had a church, shocking, and it wasn't about the pastor? What if it was about the people of God in the church who went and did the work of God? And they didn't rely on just the pastor to have all the wisdom. Believe me, you're barking up the wrong tree, my brothers and sisters. But, yeah, just have the Holy Spirit. But what if we all did? Right? Amen? This is where I believe God's leading us. It's never been about one person. It's been about the move of God and the people of God in the church. Amen? Amen. So I just release you in Jesus' name to go out this week. Yeah, okay. So this week, Brother Lawrence said this, practice the presence of God this week. This week. This week. Go out and whenever a situation, just ask the Lord, invite the Lord in. Turn off your news stuff. Turn off your worship music for a minute. Turn off whatever it is and go, God, okay, me and you. Just for a moment in your car. I double dog dare you. Got to do it now. Double dog dare. Amen? God wants to show himself big in your life. It's a step of faith, but I'm telling you, it's a great step. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, lift your hands one more time. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, let your face shine upon us this week. Be gracious to us this week. God, we thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, that you go with us everywhere we go. We choose not to be dismayed. We choose to be courageous. We choose to not to fear because the Lord our God is with us everywhere we go. We thank you for that. And God, help us. Remind us of that this week. Help us to remember in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Amen.